evening, and welcome to another AVOD special feature. Tonight we will be watching another movie that the Count can't believe that I've never seen before. Tonight's feature is Star Trek II Wrath of Khan.
Whose title is just great to say. It makes you happy to say that title.
So, if you'll be joining us this evening and watching, presently we have our DVD set to the menu. Play is highlighted and ready to go.
Okay, and we're going to check what edition and running time this is now.
Oh, yeah.
To make sure you got the right copy. It's the Star Trek The Wrath of Khan. On the front, there's a tag from Harry Knowles that says, "The greatest Star Trek there will ever be." Which, you know, is correct, but not, you know, great. It's
Well, it would have been a better statement had he made it when the film came out.
If the film box had quoted 10-year-old Harry Knowles, that would have been great. You know what? The weird part is, when Harry Knowles saw this as 10, he probably said, you know, "That is the greatest Star Trek that will ever be."
You think he talks like that?
Wait, he did that. Now his voice is a high-pitched, whiny version of it. Insulting people who aren't even here. What the hell is wrong with me? It's 112 minutes. So if your running time is 112 minutes, which I guess is an hour and 52 minutes, right? I'm doing that math
112?
Right?
112?
Yeah, an hour and 52 minutes.
Yes.
Thanks. All right. you're watching the right version. So we started play. We're looking at the parental guidance suggested warning, but we're going to give you a stop point in a second. Okay. Boom. The mountain appeared. Paramount Mountain, we're paused on it. Start your DVDs, videos, whatever. When you get to the Paramount Mountain, when it first fades up, press play with us. In 3, 2, 1, play! Do you think people thought I meant on the one?
I don't know. Let's see, whenever I play...
3, 2, 1.
Who plays 3, 2, 1? Rock, paper, scissors. You have to specify ahead of time if you're going to shoot on 3 or if you're going to say shoot.
Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Yeah.
And it's got to be
or
shoot.
Or 1, 2, and then you go on
okay.
a 3.
One game.
Wait, when are we going to go?
Shoot.
Okay.
One, two, three, shoot. Oh!
Damn!
Scissors beats
Shit.
Paper.
Totally lost.
Yeah. I always pick scissors, and it always, and it, you know, I win,
oh,
I would say,
rock.
About 50% of the time.
Nothing beats you. Rock.
Poor, predictable Bart. Always chooses rock. Good old rock. Nothing beats that. Wrath of Khan.
Yes, that's what it says.
That is what it says. Now, interestingly, I'll bring this up later, they changed the title on him during production.
Well, is Khan particularly wrathful?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's got a lot of wrath.
It's an appropriate title, but I'll point it out to you in the relevant scene. But Nick Meyer, who wrote the final draft based on, I think, Harve Bennett's earlier drafts, he wrote a lot of it, apparently. Right? But he wrote and directed it, and he's like the one good writer-director who's ever worked on Star Trek.
Right.
I'm sure you've heard the old thing that the even-numbered Star Trek movies are the best.
Yes.
Well, it's just a weird coincidence that the even-numbered ones are, he wrote and directed 2, he wrote 4, and he wrote and directed 6. All one guy.
Oh,
and those
weird.
Are the good movies.
Yeah, this is Kirstie Alley's first role.
It is?
Well, it says introducing. That's usually reserved for people.
Yeah, but she might have done TV first.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't use the introducing credit much anymore.
Well, they... Weirdly, they used it in Ocean's 11 to introduce...
As a joke,
Julia
yeah.
No, they still do it, I think.
I just don't see it much. But anyway, point I was making... Oh, also, just to remind everyone that we are Canadian, we're having craft dinner while we do this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're noticing, if you want to go pause it and make some craft dinner, by all means. That stuff is great. Oh, but in America, you call it macaroni and cheese, which is weird. Mm. So anyway, the point I was getting at, they changed the title on it. It was called Star Trek II, The Undiscovered Country.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Star Trek VI.
He reused the title.
Huh.
Yeah, so Harbin and Jack B. Sowards wrote it. Jack B. Swords has the screenplay credit, and Nick Meyer did a bunch of uncredited rewrites.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In the 23rd century. That was just great. You know, originally they just used the star dates so they wouldn't have to commit to what year it was. Like, how far in the future
star dates. I never understood star dates.
Well, because they're meaningless.
Good to know.
Good subtitles, huh?
The subtitles are awesome. They're the best subtitles ever.
They're clear and they're bright yellow. Mm. So anyway, they changed the title on him because they heard the new Star Wars movie was going to be called, I think, Revenge of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So they called theirs Wrath of Khan.
Oh.
Because they knew it was coming out first. And that forced him to change his title to Return of the Jedi. Which now he lies and says...
Kamehameha.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Oh,
that's
why I didn't know that! Happened. Why the... you just totally ruined it for me. I should probably point out to you now... Mm-hmm. But I've never seen Star Trek.
The TV show.
The TV show or the first movie?
Yeah, well, no one needs to see the first movie. Okay. But how many of the movies have you seen?
I've seen all the new ones.
No, but like of the original series movies.
I've seen number 4.
Undiscovered Country, obviously.
Well, I've seen number 4, which I only remember the whales.
The whales are a big part of it.
And I've seen... No, but I only remember there being whales in the movie, is what I'm saying. And I've seen number 6.
Well, those are the two best ones, except for this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, by all means. And you've seen all the new ones.
Regrettably.
Yeah, I know. They were just terrible. and have you seen Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, any of that?
I used to watch Deep Space Nine when it was first on TV.
I love that show.
And then I kind of lost interest and it turned into a soap opera, and I stopped caring.
I gotcha.
I kind of liked Voyager.
That's because you're an idiot. Continue.
No, I'm not an idiot.
That's weird.
I never watched Enterprise. I never saw a single episode.
That's okay. It's fun, but it's not necessary. The thing about Deep Space Nine, yeah, it gradually became a serialized show about the horrors of ongoing war. And I guess you lost a lot of the Star Trek fans who were just hoping to see, you know, Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it did the best character stuff, though, of any of the shows. Because they're really worried about building the characters and... Oh!
Damn.
Poor Sulu. Mm. It's a bad way to die, blowing up on a bridge of an Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. A fake one at that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know Sulu's not dead. You know what the Kobayashi Maru is.
I do. Only because I've seen J.J. Abrams' Star Trek.
Yeah. Mm. And this specifically happens, apparently because it leaked that something was going to happen later in the movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to spoil it for you.
No, don't spoil I'm anything not going to. For me.
Mm. But, you know, it leaked that something was going to happen, so they tried to get it out of the way right at the beginning. And, oh look, it's Admiral Kirk. They immediately threw away... It's too bad you didn't see Star Trek The Motion Picture, because they had a ridiculous white uniform that everyone wore. They were all wearing, like, white jumpsuits.
Oh, I've seen those.
Okay, you have. Because well, they immediately...
They wear them... I think they wore them sometimes in Next Generation.
Or something like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they replaced all the white jumpsuits with these things. Which actually look pretty good. Like, they kind of look like a uniform someone might actually wear. Unlike The Next Generation, where everyone was wearing multicolored jumpsuits again.
Right.
See, they're wearing tunics and pants. With, yeah. You know, I don't think they have zippers, though. I think in the future, zippers no longer exist.
Well, they're probably made of some space-age material they called spandex.
Future Velcro?
Future Velcro, yes.
Which is like Velcro, but it does make a sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Velcro that did make a sound? Mm-hmm. Whoever invents that's going to make $1 billion. Silent Velcro.
Magnets. Magnetic pants.
You know what? I hate to say, but I would totally buy magnetic pants.
You couldn't wear them around your computer, though.
No, you couldn't, right? Yeah. In fact, everybody's covering electronics these days.
It would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, like put your credit card in your pocket. Oh, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
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 Oh.
Oh, that's not nice at all.
I know. He feels sad about himself.
So, where do these movies take place? I guess this is a stupid question, obviously, because he's an admiral now.
Yeah.
But, like, how much time has passed between the end of this series?
Real time.
The show and...
1969 to 1979. It was a decade later.
Mm-hmm.
And this is supposed to be, like, 3 years after the events of Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Okay.
Yeah. They tried to keep it good. So this is 15 years, say, after the end of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know what he's referring to. Because you've seen the movie.
I know, but that's brilliant.
It is.
That's cool. Oh, go JJ.
Go JJ. Mm. But the thing here... It's interesting to note that the J.J. Abrams, it's just fan service, but here, him cheating on the Kobayashi Maru is an important part of the plot.
Okay.
But we'll discuss that when we get there. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's the theme about what is a no-win scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. God bless you, Spock. I'm so glad I got to see him speak.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He has a lot of interesting stories. He's very dignified. I asked him about Three Men and a Baby. Because we were in Toronto and he shot it there, so I thought, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he had a great time shooting in Toronto.
Awesome.
I love his quarters. Look, they're just so simple.
Yeah.
But I love the sliding. It's still the sliding doors, but they're wood paneled.
Yeah.
Because it's home.
It's classy.
I know, and I love his 70s chair. I miss the 70s when everything was futuristic.
Right.
Or what they thought the future was like. And then we gave up on that in the 80s and things just got dull again. Driving around Ottawa, I see all these buildings every now and then that it's like, it's a circular building covered in windows. I'm like, I know what year that was made. The 1 year it was interesting to be in architecture. Ooh, he got him reading glasses.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. See? See?
Very
nice. He's got to wear glasses.
Yeah.
He feels old. It's like, now think about it. This movie is in many ways a meditation on him, you know, being aging. That's why it was called The Undiscovered Country. Because the future is the undiscovered country.
Oh, I thought it was hope.
Death, too.
Peace.
Death and the future.
No, peace was the undiscovered country.
Well, yeah, because that movie was less of a downer. But what's interesting is, like, they're actually talking about how old Kirk is and how he's just out, he can't be doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the ridiculous Star Trek The Next Generation movies that have Picard being an action movie star.
Yeah.
When he's way older than Kirk is in this movie.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And he's out there driving a Jeep. Having Jeep chases? You have a spaceship. Sorry. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to watch the best movie ever made.
Really? Best
Star Trek movie ever made.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I love that computer in the background.
What's that?
That computer back there.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Damn.
It's like an Apple II. And you can even see that it's a monochrome screen with blue typing on a black background. You know what? I guess and the thing is, it totally fits in with his love of antiques.
Mm-hmm. I think that's supposed to be a modern piece.
Yeah, I know, but I'm pretending that it's a brilliant set design. Yeah, it's like when you watch Soylent Green, like the computers of the future, and they all have like... the printer paper that comes out on rolls and have dots. And
I used to say that the future won't have those.
I hope it does.
Dot matrix printers.
Dot matrix printers. The Reliant. I just think that sounds great.
Well, he's made it to first officer. Spaceships are named after real ships.
Are they?
Yes.
Neat. So there is a real... Oh, of course there's a Reliant. Yeah. I've even heard of the Reliant. Mm. But yeah, what's great is that, first off, check it out.
What?
Famous actor is the captain?
No, I'm reading the subtitles.
Oh, sorry. Mm. But anyway, isn't it great that Chekhov has made first mate?
Yes, that's wonderful.
You know, way to go, Chekhov. You're moving up in the ranks. Of course, in subsequent films, he'll be just back manning the control console.
Well, you know, you gotta get the old team together. Putting the band back together.
They do have to put the band back together. They would be crazy not to. By the way, get on the comm pick. That's right. The future technology is both a communicator and a picture. Oh, man. There you go. There's too much life on the planet. That's right. They need a completely lifeless planet for Project Genesis. Have you figured out what it is yet?
You're going to have to give me a minute.
Okay. Can be moved. Although, I mean, that is a little naive. Like, something that could be moved. But you know what? If there's a creature walking around out there, even if there's only three of them, it's got to have, like, a world of supporting microbes to keep it alive.
I know, exactly.
Yeah. Newton Einstein Surak, who is, I don't know, the genius Vulcan scientist who did a thing. It's still nice when they do that, though. They're like, the greatest composer of our time, Tchaikovsky, George Gershwin, Flimnar of the planet Graknit.
I'm surprised you didn't pull out a Star Wars reference just then.
Oh, I really should have, shouldn't I? What's the elephant nose guy's name?
Max Rebo!
By the way, thank you for knowing his name.
Of course I know his
name. Well, yeah, because you're more of a Star Wars person than a Star Trek person. Which is fair. I love Star Wars, too.
Star Wars is great.
Of course, Star Trek didn't need to be Star Wars, but you know what? I'm not going to complain about J.J. Abrams. I will complain about him pretending that a Budweiser bottling plant was the engine room of the Starship Enterprise, though. Like, what? Why are there concrete floors in this spaceship?
I didn't even catch that. I was just too involved in the ridiculous sequence of him being caught in the water tube.
All right, so here's the thing that is why Nicholas Meyer was pissed off that it was not called The Undiscovered Country.
Because there's a lot of undiscovered country in this movie. We have our metaphorical countries, and we have our literal country.
While I enjoy you mocking me, and I clearly do, or I wouldn't still be doing this show, there is actually a reason that I'm pointing this out, because it's something that I will make analogous, to another popular franchise. Okay. So, they found a spaceship.
Cargo containers.
Exactly.
Not a spaceship.
But remnants of a spaceship. Okay. But what could be inside? Other than a set, obviously. What a nice set.
Would you stop constantly calling attention to the fact that we're watching a movie?
You don't think the fact that we're making a commentary for a movie?
It doesn't mean that you have to keep repeating
it. All right. I'll stop. Okay. So, okay. And, God, that would be a depressing place to live.
Mm-hmm. Where indeed?
They built a game of checkers from spare parts.
Well, why not?
Oh, great. And?
Something.
Exactly. Something was out there.
Now it's in here.
Okay.
Moby Dick?
Yep. They have a classic sampling of Earth literature.
Any day.
Now, people question whether this is a mistake. Because Chekhov was not on the show when Khan was on.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he know the significance of the ship Khan was on? But Annie Vrunel says he wasn't on the bridge, but there's no reason he couldn't have been on the Enterprise.
No reason no one could have just told him.
Yeah. But no, Khan recognizes it.
Oh.
Yeah. But there's no reason Khan couldn't have met him.
Well, I don't understand the significance of Botany Bay.
Yeah, but that's because you didn't watch... I mean, you would have to know, okay, that it was a slave colony in Australia or watched Star Trek. Okay. So, yeah. There's no reason you should get the reference of that. In fact, this is why I was hitting up the changed title so much. In Nicholas Meyer's conception of the movie, you weren't supposed to know that Khan was in it until he takes off his mask right here.
Okay.
So you were supposed to have no idea what the movie was about until the mask comes off.
Gotcha.
And how great would that have been?
Yeah.
But right away, Wrath of Khan, you know what the movie's about.
Right.
You know, they put Ricardo Montalban's name on the poster. And it kind of ruins it. That would have been fantastic. And the thing I equate it to is in Terminator 2, if you watch that movie, like the marketing people took over, you're not supposed to know that Arnold's the good guy watching that movie.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah.
And apparently when it played internationally, the ads didn't ruin that.
Ah, okay.
So it was a better experience seeing it internationally. And just like this would be a slightly better experience if you had been a fan of the show and you didn't know Ricardo Montalban was in it. See? And people call that a continuity error. Because of Chekhov here instead of Sulu.
Well.
I know. Like, I'm not that much of a nerd that I'm going to get into Star Trek nitpicking. Oh, no, that's not how a teleporter works. No, come on. But, see? And they give you the backstory. Yeah, the idea is that at the end of the 20th century, there were genetics wars, where genetically engineered supermen tried to take over the world.
Right.
And Khan was their leader. So they blasted him out into space in hypersleep. And then the Enterprise found it some 200 years later.
Hmm.
Yeah. See?
Ah, here we go.
He's explaining the plot. You know, for all of us slow people in the audience.
Well, for those of us who didn't watch
Star Who aren't Star Trek nerds.
Yeah.
But isn't it nice for him to do that?
Very nice.
Yeah, so...
Very thoughtful.
But yeah, it's real-time passage, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because 67, 82.
Right.
Yeah. I just like the idea that it pissed him off this much. You know, there's been... The idea of taking the show, right, and just picking up a story 15 years later that actually, you know, emotionally picks up the beats there. You know what I'm saying? I'm really impressed by that. You know, who else has done anything? This show is weirdly unique because the first movie was a remake of an episode, right?
Okay.
The third movie is a just, you know, a Star Trek adventure. Same with the fourth and fifth and sixth movies. Like, this movie rewards, attention to detail and an appreciation for continuity.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that... here we go. Boom. Oh, poor Ricardo Montalban. Oh.
Ooh.
Yep. Planet blew up just like Krypton.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And the thing is, what I love is that that's completely right to the character of James T. Kirk.
Yeah.
Just immerse them there.
Dump them and forget them.
Forget them. You know, he's got green chicks to chase. He doesn't have to worry about what happened to Ricardo Montalban 10 right. years ago. So he's been clawing for survival ever since. You gotta respect that, man. Oh, Montalban.
You just like to say his name.
Doesn't everyone?
Well, you don't hear me repeating it over and over again.
Try. It'll feel good.
Nope.
Oh, man. And the funny part is, like, how do I put this? It's a film that's kind of willing to show us both sides of the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, yeah, Ricardo, I'll say Khan from now on, okay? Khan's a horrible person, but at the same time, you know, he has his justification to be angry.
Right.
And, and he can do this, too.
Oh, he's super strong.
Yep. He is genetically superior to normal humans in every conceivable way. He has super strength, super intellect.
He doesn't have super niceness.
No, he's Nietzsche's Superman. And there is the plastic appliance chest.
Awesome.
Which, come on, that just looks great, doesn't it? Oh, what was in the dirt? Something horrible.
Brain slug?
Brain slug. In fact, I would go so far as to say that 80% of brain slug fiction is a reference to the scene you're about to see. Man, killed 20 of his people.
Yeah, that's
that is
pretty
horrible.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, it's pretty nightmarish. This gave me nightmares as a kid.
It's gross.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters the day it came out, or a couple of days after it came out, like the next week. My family were Star Trek people. And this was very intense to see when you were a kid.
At all.
Like, this is super intense to see as a kid. Oh!
Ew! Oh, no!
Oh, isn't that horrible? What a monstrous parasite. Yeah, and he's especially pissed off because he fell in love with a woman on the starship who tried to help him take over the Enterprise.
She
left with him.
Yeah, that she died.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying she was a future woman like Kirk and everybody.
Yeah.
And she decided to go with him to SETI Alpha 5 rather than stay on the Enterprise.
Right.
So he's especially pissed off that she died. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
How horrible is that?
Ew! Gross, gross, gross!
Ew!
Oh, it's nasty!
Yeah, that is... Yeah, you really don't want to think about getting stabbed in the ear, do you?
No, I'm also I'm really distracted by his chest.
Yeah, try not to focus on the chest.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, it's really hard. I understand his plastic chest. Yeah, that was a questionable choice. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
He only wants one thing.
Yeah.
But you'll find that he's not an unreasonable guy.
He just put brain slugs in this guy's ears.
Because they wouldn't tell him what he wanted to know. He's no worse a person than, you know...
Any other terrorist?
Any other. Or, say, the President of the United States.
Oh, he doesn't put brain slugs in people's ears.
He tortures them.
Well, he doesn't torture them.
Oh, okay. You're right. So, he's as morally good, but has more guts and honesty about who he is.
There you go.
There we go. Oh, man. The Enterprise. I'm such a nerd that it makes me happy to see the Enterprise.
You are such a nerd.
I am. It's ridiculous. And then I actually freaked out when I was a kid and the Enterprise blows up in part 3.
Oh, way to ruin it for me.
Were you planning to watch part 3 next?
No.
Okay. Oh, docking bays. I choose to assume this is a reference to, 2001. And the endless boring docking sequences in 2001.
Perhaps.
I don't know why they have a whistle. I don't understand.
I think that's a throwback to an actual Navy.
The naval tradition of calling everyone to attention with a whistle.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Well, actually, and one of the things that's interesting about this movie is that it's the first one to really get into the naval stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of the movies, it's all... The rest of the show beforehand has just been they're kind of a military organization, but, they don't really have...
They grew out of a naval tradition.
Yeah, but now they clearly grew out of the naval tradition, and they actually talk about them as, ships. And they fight naval style, It's really just about ship-to-ship combat in the old naval sense, not in the dogfighting thing we are so used to in space battles.
Well, because it's a different kind of ship that you're dealing with.
Exactly.
You can't dogfight with a huge starship like that.
Although the movie, the J.J. Abrams movie would suggest you can. You can. With a 2 kilometer long ship. Oh, they're speaking Klingon. Vulcan. How great is that? Actually, you know what the great thing about the, you know what the great thing about the third movie is?
What?
Christopher Lloyd plays the Klingon commander.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
With the eye patch, right?
No, that's Christopher Plummer.
Oh, that's Christopher Plummer.
In part 6.
Right. My bad.
That's okay. The Klingon eye patch is pretty cool.
I remember when that movie came out.
He's got an eye patch bolted
to his
face.
And it was a big deal that it was drilled into his skull.
Yeah, it looked great. Yeah, the permanent eye patch with, like, Klingon lettering on the bolts.
Yeah, but I just remember, like, everyone's making a big deal about that particular bit of costume design.
Yeah. Oh, man. God bless it. Montgomery Scott. You know, he and Shatner hate each other.
Really?
Yeah, they hated each other.
Why?
You know, Shatner was a attention hog. Made them rewrite the scripts every week to make sure he got all of the good lines. You know? Like, he was fine with Bones and Spock, but he treated everybody else like crap.
Uh-huh.
Like, he and Leonard Nimoy and DeForest Kelly got along great, but he was just mean to everybody else and, you know, brushed everybody off. And Scotty never got over that.
Oh.
Yeah. He thought that's just disrespectful. Okay. Oh, and here's the thing that puzzled me most as a child.
Yeah.
Mr. Savick.
Yeah.
Because that's what apparently on boats, you just say Mr. to everybody. Weird, right?
Well, I don't know a lot about
naval tradition.
Naval tradition and that kind of stuff, but
it makes
sense.
It
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that it, I mean, as a ranking thing and as a military thing, to just call everybody one thing.
Well, I mean, they would call them ma'am.
Yeah. Rather than sir.
But I know they might still, yeah.
They might still say Mr. Savick.
No, they wouldn't.
No?
But, I don't know. I mean, but we're talking about a really ancient tradition with that. So
yeah.
Probably at one point, if there was a woman who
Which
had some
pretty
kind
much
of command,
earned. Yeah.
They would have said Mr. I don't think it's a bad thing. I like it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it really confused me as a child.
Yeah, but that's not a man.
To be fair, I was watching this movie at, like, 3 years old.
Oh, God.
Or 4, whatever. Like, yeah, I was very young when I first saw this movie. Really too young to be seeing something so scary. You know, brain slugs.
Yeah. Brain slugs are always scary, though.
How great is Space Doc?
This is totally a 2001.
Oh, it is. It's completely tired.
Right? With the dude?
Yeah. Oh, you're completely right. I love that that's where they build and repair starships. In space, because otherwise it would be a huge hassle.
Well, yeah.
It would be a total hassle.
And they used to have, like, for big ships and stuff, they would have, like, these sort of large floating docks. Like, on the ocean.
Really?
I mean, not, like, in the middle of the Atlantic or anything like that, but...
Like, in a bay.
In a bay somewhere, if the ship was too large and needed repairs.
You just do it in the bay.
Yeah.
That's
fantastic.
In a
fantastic. Big floating dock.
Because you couldn't make a dry dock big enough for it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There weren't a lot of them.
But, yeah, it did happen.
But it did happen.
That's amazing. Oh, just all the naval war stuff, warfare stuff always fascinates me.
Yeah.
You know? It's like I will play any video game about, you know, ships firing cannons at other ships. It doesn't even have to be good. That whole age just fascinates me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, the whole idea of that, you know, having to deal with wind and sails and aiming cannons all at the same time. It's crazy.
Well, when you had an engagement like that quite often, or, like, I suppose in early times, you would meet at an arranged time and just, you know... Fire your cannons at one another. Yeah.
Until one of them fell. That's fantastic. Oh, comm pick. In the future, people have names like Jeddah.
Right.
Actually, everyone has pretty, you know, traditional names here in the future. You know, Dr. Elizabeth Marcus. It's pretty normal. Yeah.
Well, I guess it just depends where you come from, right?
That's true. Just, no, not a lot of people have space-tastic names. There is sadly...
Space-tastic.
There is no, you know, Captain Lance Future Man. Oh, she doesn't know about the brain slugs. Yeah, it's kind of sad. He's super suspicious, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dr. Marcus.
He doesn't know.
Oh. Yep. Oh, James T. Kirk. You're such a... Anyway. I know he's lying, but I just like when people talk bad about James T. Kirk, apparently. Okay, and so this is what I like. So, he's taken over the ship, and what did he do with the crew?
I don't know. What did he do with the crew?
Beamed him back down to the surface.
Oh, really?
Because he's not an unreasonable person.
Well, that's kind of a jerk thing to do, because... Or a dick move, I suppose.
But anybody can come and pick them up.
Well, nobody knows that they're there. That
they know they're going to know they went missing. Glenn is supposed to
be devoid of life. Yeah, not for a long time. That's true. And Khan had his superior intellect
that's true.
To survive on that planet.
But you know what? He lasted 15 years. They're going to have to do a couple of months.
Well, he never could be longer.
It's better than murdering them.
Well, he could just lock them up in the brig. I don't know.
Well, that's just not practical, though.
Isn't it?
No, then you have to have guards, and it's their ship. They know it better than you do. It's not safe to keep hostages in their own
base. Why would you have to have a guard?
To make sure they didn't get away.
How are they going
to
get away? They're all locked up.
But it's their ship. Maybe they know a secret way out of the brig. For example...
The brig is designed to not have a secret way out.
That exact thing happened in Star Trek V, actually. Yeah, Spock's brother locks them in the brig, and they know the secret way out of the brig in case they're ever locked in their own brig. Although, to be fair, Star Trek V is considered to be the worst written of all the Star
really?
Trek
movies. Yeah. Is that the one where he dies?
Who?
Spock.
No.
When does he die?
I'm not telling you.
In this one? At the end of this one? At the end of this movie? I'm thinking that that's what happened.
Well, how could I possibly deny it now? The third one is called Search for Spock.
That's right.
Of course he dies. So on. Come on. Oh, Kirk. You're great.
Oh.
That's right. He has a personal history with Dr. Elizabeth Marcus that all occurred before the events of the TV show.
Wow.
Which is why it was never mentioned ever.
Well, you know, if it's a bad breakup, you wouldn't want to talk about it.
Absolutely. Note that in the future, while they have instantaneous interstellar communication, it's not very reliable.
Not all the time.
I like that. I mean, yeah, they've cracked some sort of tachyon or quantum communication system, but it can still get interference.
Well, it, you know, like...
No, I like that.
Yeah.
You don't see that in the future, in, you know, other fictions. You don't see that in J.J. Abrams. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about J.J. Abrams.
I enjoyed J.J. Abrams.
You know what? The weird part is I had a good time when I was watching.
See, there you go.
I did. I mean, okay, I don't understand why you had to go to so much trouble to make a black hole. Or you have to drill down to the center of a planet when you're just dropping this on anything makes a black hole. But that's, you know, they needed a ticking clock.
It's just more dramatic that way.
It is more dramatic that way. That's why it's more dramatic if the Death Star has to wait, you know, has to warp in on the other side of the system and has 20 minutes before it can blow up Yavin 4. Was I right about Yavin 4?
Yeah, that was yes! good. Well done.
Which, of course, they used as a target because Dantooine was not a... was too far away.
Far too remote for an effective demonstration.
Oh, man, I'm so happy right now. God bless that movie. Dude, by the way, how great is that wall hanging?
That's a pretty fantastic wall hanging.
I know, isn't it great? I think it's the Starfleet logo, but in just weird, you know, metal coins. I guess what's the term I'm looking for that? And
LeMay?
Is that LeMay?
Same kind of, yeah. It's the same sort of thing, I think. No, maybe not.
And how great is that mirror that also seems to have lights inside to have depth? Is that amazing? I just love that mirror, and I don't know how they do it. Like, is it actually set into the wall, or is it an optical illusion?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's not the Starfleet logo. I guess it's some kind of a Vulcan thing. How have I never noticed that before? Oh, watching it on video every time since I was a kid. Yeah, I think I saw it one other time in theaters. The Mayfair was nice enough to do a Star Trek marathon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Skipped out on the first one, because seriously, it's better than falling asleep.
Right.
Ouch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's just being a good friend.
He is. It's harsh, but he's being a good friend. But of course, the question is, like, can you just pilot a starship forever? I mean,
no, but maybe he just wasn't ready for promotion yet.
That's
personally
true. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Or the one.
Yeah. He could do more good. I guess he thought he could do more good as an admiral. But that wasn't the case. Oh, they're such good buddies.
They are best buddies.
They are. You and me were...
Buddies.
Oh, God. How can you not do that? The thing is, it's such a nice... I mean, it's... I gotta say, I'm not gonna go into how James Cameron writes, but I like the... They just put it in the simplest things to make this the story we want to see. He's retired, but he's coming back for one last mission. But he's only got a crew full of trainees, so all the odds are stacked up against them, and he doesn't know what he's going into.
Right.
There's, like, how obviously they layer on what Kirk's going to be up against.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I just like how they're not ashamed to do that. They're not. They don't mind. It's just fun. Oh, Warp 5, Mr. Sulu. Oh, he has a great voice. George Takei does have the best voice, doesn't he? Okay, he's
on an episode of Psych.
He was?
Yeah.
Who's he playing?
Himself.
Okay. Well, that is pretty nerdy. And he lives in San Francisco, so it's not hard to get to...
it's from Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's set in Santa Barbara.
Exactly.
So I thought you were going to...
No.
And suggest that it's filmed in Santa Barbara.
One of the things I like most about Psych is...
Is this going to be a problem now because they want their freedom and he just wants his friend?
No, of course not. He's their commanding officer. But I love that, and again, it's just an understanding of basic storytelling. You have to show that the villain is resolved even within his own milieu by having other people show doubts and him overrule them with his charisma.
Right.
You know? You can't just have, like, all of the... Not everyone is crazy pissed at Kirk.
Yeah.
But he is their commander.
Around perdition's flames.
Which, again, is what didn't really make sense about the J.J. Abrams movie. Why are all these miners suddenly willing to follow this guy to the death? It's not like it was a military ship and there was this system of command. He was just the head of a mining ship.
No, but they all lost something, and I think was able to rally them and be like, you know, I will get vengeance for us all.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But you see,
charismatic leadership.
Although we never actually saw any charismatic
leadership the way
we did there with Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, well, we were a little too busy watching Kirk become Kirk.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Give up Genesis. You know, the weird part is, if they want to do a sequel, they're going to have Khan come back. Because, you know, it's being redone. So, we could have more Khan.
We could have more Khan.
And by the end of this movie, you'll understand why people are crying out for more Khan.
Because Because he's a good bad guy.
He's a great bad guy. And you haven't even seen the great stuff yet. But, uh-oh. Here's a problem. Okay. Wait until you see. I believe this is, it might be later, but it might be now. Just like the greatest computer graphics the year 1982 had to offer. Uh-huh. I like the retinal scanner.
That's pretty good.
This might have been like the first retinal scanner that had appeared in a mainstream movie. Which is just wonderful. Okay, yeah, here it is. Project Genesis.
What indeed?
The MacGuffin that defines this film's plot.
Nice.
Thank you. Okay. Look at this high-end 1982 graphics. Okay. Okay, it may not look as good as Tron, but it looks really good. Using the same technology that they would one day use to generate the replicators in Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, well, there you go.
I know, right?
Oh, kind of like terraforming, I suppose.
It's exactly like terraforming, but in days instead of years.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that look great? And it turns into a planet.
Oh.
And I just want to point out that I love that apparently in the future, there are big problems with food supply and population.
Well, I can see that happening.
Yeah, because it's
problems
like,
with that now.
I know, but I just like the idea that it's just 300 years in the future, uh-huh. right? And already, you know, they're running out of habitable planets to put all of their people on. You know? How great is that? Although I know humans have grown exponentially in the past 300 years.
Uh-huh.
And so, given other planets to go to, they would move even faster. Twisted viruses infecting the entire universe with their evil seed.
God.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I do like that.
That's true.
Yeah? I love when they bicker.
Oh, he's got a moral dilemma.
He does. But Spock is just impressed by the technology. Although, who wouldn't be?
Well, it is impressive.
It is. But of course, McCoy's right. You can blow up any planet immediately with that.
Yeah.
Which is really awful. Oh, man. It's the Reliant. See? Okay. And again, you want a lesson in how to make drama, people? We know more than Kirk does.
Yes.
Like, it's not a mystery what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen.
There's actually Kirk a term does for that.
No. Good writing. Oh, I love the look of the Reliant, too. I like that they're not all just Enterprise, sorry, Constellation class. Yes, I'm a nerd. Spaceships.
Oh, that was nerdy.
Okay, I got a question for you,
yes.
Star Wars nerd.
Okay.
Are there a bunch of Millennium Falcons out there?
No, not that I've seen.
My question is that like a ship design that you could buy from a shipmaker?
Well, I think at that point...
Or was it completely built from the ground up by Lando Calrissian?
Well, it's really old.
Okay.
So, if there were, I think they might be like Fireflies.
Oh, so there used to be a lot, and it's been heavily customized.
Right, yeah. That's my understanding. I don't know. I don't have all the answers about that one.
Okay.
I can probably check back.
Okay.
I can run that by some other people.
Because right. I was wondering, you know, it's the future, and there's, like, billions of X-Wings. There's hundreds of Star Destroyers. Are there, like, other ships that look exactly like the Millennium Falcon, but with different modifications? Like,
highly customized.
Okay. So there might be other things like that, but they would look different.
Because I don't think one person could just build their own spaceship. No, but
someone with enough money could have one custom built.
I suppose, but I don't think Lando ever had that much cash.
That was my point. So it raises the question of whether there's a lot
of Millennium Falcons. This is why I think they might be like Fireflies.
I love their science board. Their chambers coil. But don't you love this? Like, all of these. I mean, I know it's such a stupid thing to do to say, wow, look at how they thought the future was going to be. But I love that their future is covered in, like, crystal switches that you flip and they change colors, you know?
That's how you know they're working.
I know, but I'm sad that the future doesn't have that, you know? Oh!
Damn.
Sneak attack. Pearl Harbor style. Sorry, I am.
That was terrible.
I know, I've been saying that ever since I read the worst. I was reading a quote from a script. From a script, and it's like, her mother slaps her in the face. Pearl Harbor style.
What?
And I'm like, what does that mean? You can't just write that. What is that supposed to mean?
It's meaningless.
Do you mean it's quick and surprising? Because it's meaningless the way you wrote it. And so I've been trying to use it to see if anyone knows what it means. Or, like, it's a thing people actually say.
No.
It's
like,
not that.
Crazy like a bag of cats. Not something people say.
I do think we should try and encourage people to say crazy like
a bag. Energizer's out.
I know. Oh, man. Crazier than a bag of cats. I mean, I understand bags of cats would be pissed off.
But that's not an actual thing that people actually say.
No, no one's ever said that. Oh. Oh, guy from Final Destination, who I assume is a Canadian actor, because those are the only two things I've ever seen you in. Oh.
Oh, here comes. Kaboom.
Ouch. Oh, man. You know the one problem with the future Enterprise?
What?
They don't have great fire control systems. Like, obviously you can't have sprinklers.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't even seem to have, like, fire extinguishers anywhere.
Maybe they thought that, you know,
that since it's all made of plastic and metal, there wasn't likely to be a fire?
Yeah.
Excellent choice, but apparently they were wrong. That's a lot of smoke. Here we go. Oh, burn. Terms of surrender. What is Kirk going to do about that one? Oh, Kong. And this is where, again, I'm going to get slightly nervous.
Wow, I just had a...
What?
I just realized something.
What?
I just put two and two together. He's on Futurama. It's Freakazoid's nemesis.
Yeah.
In an episode of... Oh, my God. I just, like, just now, it just came
You
to
never
me.
Got...
No. Oh, why would I know
How
that?
How would you know that? Okay. And what I love about this is they have yet to abandon, like, the old starship design. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't exactly what the Enterprise looked like on the old show, but it's been retrofitted over the past 15 years and improved, right? But the Reliant is an older ship. So Khan is essentially standing on one of the sets from the original TV show.
Yeah.
And if you look at the doors behind him, if you just look at that set, you're like, that's even kind of lit like the show was on the old TV show. He could be talking to us out of 1968.
True.
You know? And again, that's one of the wonderful things about this movie, that it's a thrilling adventure story on its own.
Yeah.
Right? But if you were a fan of the series, there's so much more here for you.
Yeah.
You know, it respects the audience, and it respects its fans in a way that so few other films do. Oh.
Another phone
How does this
call.
Keep happening to us?
Because
not that this is all on the same day.
Yeah. Working late tonight. I'm going to call you guys. I know. We're finding her. Bye-bye. Okay. I know.
Where were we? Chocolate?
Oh, thank you.
Careful. Oh, con. See, again, you put the characters. I know!
It's awesome.
Isn't that perfect? See, you put the characters, right?
That was good.
Like, it's just clever writing to put characters in a situation that we don't know how they're going to get out of,
mm-hmm.
where they're against a smart enemy who's got the drop on them. And then they come up with something that makes completely good sense, but we didn't know about it, and the enemy didn't know about it. How great is that? Because this thing they're talking about, why, of course Starfleet would have an idea for what to do if the ship was hijacked.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they would. And there's no reason to suspect, like, that Khan would know that. Of course he wouldn't.
Yeah.
He's had the ship for a day. Oh, Khan. You're such a bastard. Don't you love Sulu?
Sulu's great.
Isn't he?
No. Mm.
Oh.
No! Oh, he got the drop on you.
And the problem with the modern everything looks like a frigging iPhone design of ships now
mm-hmm.
is that you would miss that wonderful scene of him saying, "Where's the override?" and looking at a sea of buttons that it would take you years to learn how to operate. Uh-huh. And in that moment, you know exactly what it's like to be Khan. You know? How great is that?
Mm-hmm.
Although, I do make the argument that the iPhone was directly inspired by Star Trek The Next Generation.
Really?
Oh yeah, if you look at the consoles they use in Star Trek The Next Generation, they're all these flat black surfaces and you do everything by tapping it or sliding your fingers across it.
I remember, I've watched the show.
So yeah, but it's like, that's all the iPhone is. It's just them trying to make Star Trek The Next Generation real.
I don't know, they might be going a little far on that one.
Well, we know that the only reason they started making flip open phones was to make them look like communicators from the original Star Trek. There's no reason to do that except for Star Trek.
Oh, someone's dead.
It's his nephew.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Poor Scotty.
And he could have brought him to sick bay, but he was kind of pissed at Kirk. I know. That sick bay does look messed up, though.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of sick in sick bay.
Can you do anything, Doc? Well, he's got a giant hole in his chest, so I'm guessing no.
I don't know. 70% burns?
I doubt there are any Bacta tanks nearby.
Nice!
See? I remembered the term for that! Oh my god. Did you happen to see the Robot Chicken Star Wars special?
Yeah, there are two of them.
No, they just did the third one.
Oh no, I haven't seen the third one. I've got the first two on DVD.
Oh, they're fun.
Hilarious!
The third one starts off really promising
mm-hmm.
because they're going to, because it seems like it's going to be the story of the Emperor throughout all six movies, which it seems like a really great thing to do. Just like, follow the Emperor and show what he was up to all that time while making jokes. But then they just, you know, jump around to do their random jokes about whatever.
But that's how Robot Chicken is.
No, it is, but they frame it as if it's going to be about the Emperor.
So it's not that it isn't funny, you just don't like...
No, I liked the other special. They set you up for
this thing.
They set me up for this thing, which, by the way, Seth MacFarlane's Emperor character is hilarious.
I'm pretty sure that exact same thing is in Airplane 2.
Seriously?
With the little beams going back and forth.
Oh, it is.
Shatner's in Airplane 2.
No, the beams going back and forth?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. You can actually see that in, like, 15 different movies. It's in The Last Starfighter, too. It's in a Next Generation episode. It's one of these weird things that I think it's a prop. Some prop people kept putting it in stuff as a joke.
Oh, it's like the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, or the fact that they're like PKE meters in 7 different movies. Like they were invented for Ghostbusters.
It's hilarious that Shatner's in Airplane 2, which I love, by the way. And then one guy's like, he's like, so what does this do? And this guy's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, then find out.
I love Airplane 2.
Oh, Christ.
They had to go to the moon.
That would be so funny.
It really is.
Airplane is one of my favorite movies.
Airplane 2,
it just makes me laugh.
I'm sad about Leslie Nielsen.
It is sad.
Yeah. Actually, Keith Olbermann, I was watching, he did a tribute to Leslie Nielsen when he died.
Yeah.
And he's like, people today don't understand the significance of what Leslie Nielsen did.
Yeah.
And he's like, imagine if tomorrow... You know, Gary Sinise was in a movie completely, you know, skewering all the serious roles he had ever done in. And then for the rest of the career, he only did comedies.
Yeah.
Right? And to the point where people forgot that Gary Sinise had ever been a dramatic actor. That's the equivalent of what Leslie Nielsen is. I'm like, yeah, because he had like 30 years of being a dramatic actor before Airplane.
It's funny, too, because Gary Sinise really comes across as having no sense of humor. Am I wrong?
No, you're completely right about Gary Sinise.
I'm sure he does, but yeah. I'm just saying.
No, absolutely. Oh, okay, and one last Robot Chicken comment.
Yeah.
The funniest thing I heard, it was like a printed interview with the writers. And it was like, what's the best part about doing the Robot Chicken episodes? The Star Wars episodes of Robot Chicken. Getting Harrison Ford's management to tell us no without ever asking him. Every time. Because apparently they've got everybody else to be in it.
Oh, really? Over the years they managed to just get them all?
Yeah, like, because Mark Hamill's there.
Yeah.
She's there.
Carrie Fisher?
Carrie Fisher's there.
Is she?
Yeah. Anthony Daniels has done it. Like, the major people...
Really? I didn't know. They got Anthony
apparently
Daniels.
Apparently Anthony Daniels was a voice. Maybe in this one, but...
A rat?
Yeah, I know. Well, no. In their defense, that does seem crazy. What you gotta remember is they're doing biological experiments for the...
Oh, right.
Genesis Project here.
They're on the space station.
Yeah. There are no rats on the Enterprise.
There are no...
Nor... Oh!
Oh, shit.
Now, if this film is starting to seem familiar, it's because Star Trek VII is a complete ripoff of Wrath of Khan.
What happens in Star Trek VII?
That's when Malcolm McDowell wants to build a rocket to
the
sun. And there's a scene where they go to a space station where Malcolm McDowell has stolen the science technology, and there's a body hanging down that surprises the guy.
The science technology.
Okay, do you want me to say the specific thing? The trilithium missile that he's going to use to cause a chain reaction in the heart of the sun, making
you
a supernova.
You said the science or the technology. You need to say the science technology.
All right.
But so this is the unscientific technology.
You know I had to say the science technology, right? You know that?
I largely forgot about what happened to Star Trek Generations.
And that's for the best.
Because nothing happens in that movie.
No, it's not a good movie at all. But it's a complete ripoff of this, and so is Star Trek X.
Ah, which one's 10?
Ron Perlman is Nosferatu.
That doesn't help me at all.
There's a bald Picard clone wearing a leather boy outfit.
Once again, you're going to have to do better.
That's the whole movie.
Yeah, but it's not ringing a bell, and I've seen them all.
They have a giant killer spaceship that just like the giant killer Romulan spaceship from the J.J. Abrams movie.
How come I don't remember this?
It's that forgettable.
But it's got Ron Perlman in it.
I know. I'm a little surprised that you forgot the Ron Perlman one. Oh, man. Where are the Genesis? That's a good question. Oh, poor Captain. You know, he would go on to be on an episode of Deep Space, Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played the scientist, the alien whose race only spoke in metaphor.
Oh, we talked about this.
Yeah, and then kidnapped Picard.
So he was in that episode?
He's the alien. He had makeup on, but yeah, Paul Winfield was the alien in that.
Is there two episodes with those people, or just the one?
Just the one.
Oh.
Yeah, where they go on the planet and they hunt an invisible monster using metaphor.
I remember. I've seen it. We talked about it with Drew.
Yeah. No, it's a great episode. But, Paul Winfield.
Are they going to figure out that they've got brain slugs?
Eventually.
Okay. Well, they have to, because Chekhov doesn't die. So.
Yeah. He doesn't, and it's wonderful. Oh, my God. Oh,
it's disco fantastic in that room.
I know. It's the 60s conception of the future. And they have kept the design aesthetic into the feature films. Mm-hmm. Which, again, smart move. Oh, man. Stage two. Oh, yeah, because he watched the video on it. See, that's why cell phones look like that. Because of what he's doing right now. There was no reason to make cell phones look like that,
I need to find a way to unlock my LG Flip, because I don't love the phone, but I like it.
Yeah, so it's a good phone.
It's a good phone. It does the job, but I can't find a place that will unlock it.
Really?
Yeah. There's something about, like, you need some special wire for it, or maybe because it's some stupid phone. I don't know.
Is it Canada where you can't do it, or the States where you can't do it, or what?
I think I asked around here, and they told me no. There's a place I can take it to in the States. In all of the United States, is this
in
one place.
In all of the United States, I know of a store.
So it's just a matter of remembering to do it, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, see, it's good to know that you can get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, Savick. You would, of course, later appear in in subsequent films, and then be replaced by Kim Cattrall playing a different character.
Cattrall, sorry.
playing a different character in Six, because they had decided that Savick couldn't turn evil.
Right.
Yeah, by the time they made Six, they're like, no, people like her too much. She can't turn evil. Yeah, but in the original script, it was going to be Savick back.
And, okay.
So they just made a new character who had no prior relationship with Spock the way Savick did.
Right.
But that, on the upside, means Savick's still kicking around out there somewhere.
Oh, that's good news.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that prop on the Botany Bay?
Totally.
It totally was.
Just a cleaned up version of it.
Oh, or I guess maybe they shot this first before they dirtied it up?
Also a possibility.
In fact, I would say the more likely. Oh, that's the Genesis device.
Ouch.
Oh, man. It's nice when they fight over knives. In the future. Seriously, why don't they have more phasers? Oh, man.
So, is that his son?
Oh, maybe? Yeah.
Oh, it totally is.
They went to the trouble of getting someone who had blonde, curly hair to be in the midpoint between the two of them.
All right.
It's good that you picked it out, though. I like that he's so suspicious of the government. I like that in the future, there are people who are so suspicious of the government.
Yeah.
You know, because Merman and I were talking the other day about the world of Star Trek, which is like, if you don't work for Starfleet, what is the world like? Like, What kind of job do you get? You know, like, what is it like working on Earth? There's no money in the future because there's replicators. So does no one have to work a bad job? How do you wind up being a janitor in the future world of Star Trek? But it's something they've never really examined in the future world of Star Trek.
Yeah.
They don't want us to ask about people who choose not to join Star Trek. But it's like, they don't even address, except for this one character in one movie being suspicious of the motives of the military.
Uh-huh.
It's never a question.
Yeah,
it's never brought up. And like we said, and as we talked, like, is there a president of Earth? Because there doesn't seem to be, like, because we were talking about how...
I suspect it's probably run by some kind of committee or council.
And we were talking about how across 24 years of Star Trek episodes and 10 movies, mm-hmm. no one has ever voted for anything.
That's awesome.
So it's like, I'm pretty sure they're living in a fascist dictatorship.
I mean, benevolent,
they're really benign fascist dictators, but there's no democracy in the future of Earth.
Oh, he's going to kill himself.
Yep.
Oh, that's sad.
Tyrell had enough self-control that he could kill himself. And,
Chekhov, no.
Yeah, he's having a brain attack. Also, I like that phasers, like, just erase you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gross. Oh, God.
Oh,
I forgot about that
nasty.
One.
Oh, gross, gross.
Yeah, they keep cutting back to it. I don't care. And by the way, I love that he shot it on the ground next to his head.
Well, he's very careful.
He is, you know. Not like his hand would be shaking after that fist fight he just got in or anything.
Look, it's Captain Kirk. Admiral Kirk.
You're right, I'm sure he's
cool fine. Under pressure. Oh, he's having a bad day.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, everybody's having a bad day.
Why is this particularly bad?
Yeah, it really is. Oh, man. Just
Shatner.
Target. Oh, man. I love all of his genetically engineered henchmen. And women.
Mm-hmm.
Many of whom were, and this is the sad part, like, they got rid of all of the genetically engineered people from Earth, so it was a ship loaded with, like, men, women, and children. Who he managed to keep alive. Because he's good at his job. You can't say Khan's not a good commander.
Well, if he were an ineffective commander, he wouldn't be a threat.
Exactly. Oh, man. God bless you, Khan. You're no Nero. Who relied entirely on his superior technology and did not have good plans or an attention to detail.
Well, he didn't count on...
Well, he wasn't a military man.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just a guy with a big ship.
Just a miner, as you said.
Yeah, who happened to have a giant ship that kind of just sat around for 25 years.
Well, it's not his fault he got sucked into the time warp.
Oh, that movie.
To be fair, it wasn't
such good
all
action.
Eternity.
No, I
know. Bright
alive. I know.
Oh.
There it is!
Wow. That was emotive.
Yeah? Oh, he loves to emote. Oh, buried alive. That's quite a plan. See, there's science writing on the sides of those capsules. That makes me happy. Because they've labeled them. In the future, they need to know what bizarre chemicals this stuff contains.
Well, of course. That's just common sense.
Oh, no, absolutely. Okay, so remember how I was talking about how great matte paintings are?
Yes.
Remember that conversation
we were
having about the awesomeness of matte paintings?
Yes.
Are you prepared to see one of my favorite matte paintings ever?
I'm prepared, yes.
Okay, so just mentally prepare yourself for an awesome matte painting. Okay. Oh, he's... Oh, Kirk. You're great. The Genesis Cave. Oh. See, it's nice, because, like, Kirk knows he has a son. Right? But that guy doesn't know Kirk's his dad.
Right.
So, you know, it's a complicated relationship. Oh, yeah. And I like the idea that, you know, 20 years ago, 20-some years ago, he had to commit to going off into space for indefinite amounts of time. So they broke up. Lots of backstory, and they don't really... They don't get into all the backstory stuff. They don't waste our time with interpersonal crap for the most part. Which is another wonderful thing about this movie. It's like when I was watching Tron the other day. It's curt. It gets to the point. It doesn't, you know, just drone on and on and on.
Right.
And it doesn't make action scenes last forever. Which, you know, that gets pretty tiresome too. Oh, excuse me. Oh, here we go. Just a little bit of interpersonal stuff. Oh, Kirk. See, and that's why they had to have... They need one little thing here to explain why we never found out that he had a son for those 3 years.
Yeah.
We watched the Star Trek movies.
Sorry, the TV show.
And that's fine. But, you know, they get rid of it in like 6 lines and then they move on.
Yeah.
You just need a little personal stuff. But then again, you know, it's like it all plays into the emotional arc of Kirk. Mm-hmm. He's getting old. There's a whole new crew of cadets on the Enterprise. He's got a son to replace him. Like. Yeah. What's he for? It's tough being Kirk right now. You know, and his past is coming to bite him. His past, who has his own son figure who's way, you know, more effective and loyal.
Yeah.
Who his name is, and I love that I know this, Joachim Weiss. Yeah, the sidekick guy, Khan.
Really?
Joachim Weiss.
Oh my god.
Isn't that great?
What a name.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing name. We all wish we had a name that good to kind of suggest that he's the product of boys from Brazil style eugenics. A carefully decided on name. Whereas Khan's last name is Singh.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So he hails from the subcontinent.
God.
Okay, you say that like that's not what it's called.
Nobody calls it that anymore. Subcontinent.
I know. It is pretty ridiculous. Of course, then again, I mean, if you're going to call Europe its own continent, you should friggin' call India its own continent.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't have it just, well, there are white people there, so we get to call it its own continent. Dude, it's this tiny thing at the edge of Asia. Okay, here we go. Matte painting, ahoy.
Wow. That's a pretty great matte painting.
Doesn't that just look nice?
Yeah. It's a lost art.
It really is. Nobody does that anymore. Like... No one goes to the trouble of, and because these are all giant, like, look at that.
Yeah.
Giant canvases. You know?
Yeah.
Full of such fantastic detail. You know, I was watching the Star Wars movies over Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was just marveling at all the matte paintings on Endor. I love them all so much. Oh, God. Oh, Return of the Jedi. You're a wonderful movie, and I don't care what people say.
I love it, too.
I won't let people badmouth Return of the Jedi to me. You may not be The Empire Strikes Back, and I don't care how silly those Ewoks are. Okay, I don't like that they've added frigging young Anakin Skywalker to the end, but that's a conversation for another day.
Well, that's why you don't watch the...
Well, I watched it because it was on TV.
The new updated ones.
Yeah, but he won't sell the non-updated ones for television viewership.
Well, that's a good thing. I've got my own copies of the non-updated
ones. Amazing coincidence. So do I. What an amazing coincidence. Okay, you're a Star Wars expert.
I used to be.
Okay. No, oh, you cheated. God bless him. here's my question to you.
Yes.
All right. Am I crazy, or was Greedo not always subtitled?
Greedo was always subtitled.
He was. Yeah. Okay, see, I'm just going crazy. Yeah. But Jabba wasn't subtitled.
Not all the time.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, I thought, I was watching, I'm like, was Greedo always subtitled? Or was he not subtitled? Because the thing is, and I mean, maybe I'm just going, maybe I literally have gone insane. Because that's possible. You know me. But I
well, now you're making me second guess myself.
No. You're the more expert than I am. But the way Han Solo's dialogue is written, what Greedo's saying is superfluous. Like, everything Han Solo says, you get what Greedo just said.
Yeah.
Whether you read the subtitles or not. See what I'm saying? And it seems like it was written that way for...
No, it's because Greedo actually has... He says a lot, and Han Solo has these sort of monosyllables for answers. I don't think it is...
Okay.
...necessarily, like, possible to figure out exactly what it is he's saying.
The only one I think that's really like that is...
It needs to be it needs to be subtitled so that you understand that there's a bounty on Han.
Right.
And that's... And, I think if it weren't subtitle, you wouldn't get
that as much, because he just talks about tell Jabba I'll get the money and blah blah blah. I gotcha. Ooh. Tactical. Okay. So they're circling the Genesis planet.
Yeah.
The Mutara Nebula. You like his old-fashioned...
I love his similes.
I know. See, you have to, they would talk about some science-y thing and then explain it with a really simple analogy. What if we overload his energy matrix? Like putting too much air into a balloon. Oh no, he's absorbing the energy, growing more powerful, like a balloon, and then something bad happens. I think Futurama may have had, like, the best Star Trek episode ever. Oh, my God. Welshy.
Oh, it turns out that all-powerful being is, like, a big nerd.
Yeah.
It's a 30-year-old geek, Elizabeth's mother. It's
hilarious. He was just a small child who loved his toys. He's 38 years old. Oh, God. They're doing his fan script. Oh, God. For 300 Quatloos. Oh, my God. I'll wager 400 Quatloos on the newcomer. And come on. What's not to like about that? Yeah, the thing is, Star Trek, I think it's made for... Okay, I think this is fair to say. It's made for better parody than Star Wars.
Yes.
You know, because it's more serious in a way that Star Wars isn't. Because Star Wars, you know, it's basically action, sci-fi, fantasy. And Star Trek is, like, earnestly trying to show a better version of humanity. So it's easier to make fun of.
But also, I think, just sort of the culture around... There's more culture around Star Trek than there is Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean...
And so it's easy to make fun of the fan culture as well.
Although now, I think the Star Wars fan culture...
Oh, now, yeah, but back then... But
you're right, back then, Trekkies were
I think the first con ever in the existence of history was a Star Trek
convention. Yeah. That's true, but it's like, now you get these guys who dress up as stormtroopers
to raise money
for charity all around the world.
Yeah.
And they all have, like, I see them at the convention, they have, like, fantastic
costumes. I know, they're awesome!
They're exactly like, and I'm sure they, you know, just have used the original molds to make them.
I've got a picture of me with a bunch of...
Oh, okay, well, now I gotta see.
I don't think they're the 501, I think they're just a group, because it's not just stormtroopers.
Oh, okay.
But it's, like, a whole bunch of different, like...
There's always a couple of Boba Fetts in the crowd. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there's a Boba Fett. There's an Imperial officer. There's an Imperial guard. Darth Vader.
I love the Imperial guards.
They were always my favorite.
Yeah, me too. And you know how good those toys used to be? They had real felt capes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you had the toy. Oh, I had a felt cape.
That's awesome.
Oh.
Full power.
See, he's not gonna let it go.
Well, it's what's been keeping him alive. That and his superior intellect. But, you know, his hatred and vengeance.
Yep. But they have
fire in his belly.
That's true. The Mutara Nebula. That just sounds great.
It sounds like just running a bunch of sounds together.
And what's not great about that? Oh, man. And again, fantastic matte paintings.
Yeah, looks good.
Do you think they destroyed those, or do you think those are just hanging around somewhere?
Oh, I think they might have been painted over.
So I don't remember. I watched a special feature once that said how they did this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was might have literally like been... Like, we took water, we threw a bunch of paint into it, and then we shone black light into the water. But something along those lines is how they did it. But it looks fantastic. Like, they really do look like, I'm going to say it, space clouds. Oh, they don't even have shields in the Mutara Nebula. Know,
I want to see that Hubble IMAX movie.
Oh, yeah. That thing looks fantastic. Look at that.
It's very cool.
Yeah, that's got to be water, because it's swirling. They can't sense each other at all.
Vapor or smoke or something.
It could be smoke, it could be water. Like I said, yeah. I watched the special feature forever ago. Okay, that's definitely smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks fantastic. And it's got such wonderful... It's so deliberately paced. It's not rushing. Okay. Oh, they can't even lock their phasers. So now it's just become ship-to-ship combat.
Yep.
Now they're just firing cannons at each other. Which is just fantastic.
Cannon, actually. The plural of cannon is cannon.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Like duck.
Yeah.
No, no, wait, that's ducks.
No.
Sheep. Like sheep is the word I was looking for.
One sheep, two sheep.
Red sheep, blue sheep. I know. I have the book.
No, that's fish. The plural of fish is fish.
Although, God, yeah, I hate people who say fishes. Ugh.
It happens a lot.
It really does, doesn't it? There are all kind of fishes in there. I'm a horrible person.
You are.
I am. Oh.
What does the NC stand for? NCC.
Something I should know.
NCC, there we go.
Something craft, I guess.
And why is it USS? That was suggested in the United States.
Is still around.
It's still around.
Yeah, when it's really Earth.
Oh, he's super strong!
Yep. Can't see Kirk doing that. Yeah. Oh, they're tearing each other apart. And the guts of this movie, to have he and Khan.
Oh, Scotty.
See?
Oh, yeah, Joaquin.
Oh!
And he's dead.
Good dead acting.
Yeah.
All right. He shall avenge him!
He's got a lot of avenging to do.
He really does. Just a whole lot of avenging. But what I love about this, right, is that he, excuse me. Oh. Oh, way to go, Chekhov. Getting back up on that horse.
Well, yeah.
Is that you have this movie about Captain Kirk, right? And a guy who really hates Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
They're never in the same room together in the movie.
It's pretty cool.
Like, they don't have a fist fight.
Yeah.
And you think about how, like, every other movie, they try to get them to have a fist fight. Shouldn't they go have a fist fight with each other? No, that's not what this movie's about. See? Here it comes. Boom. He's thinking about them like they're boats.
Right.
But they're not boats. How great is that?
That's exactly what he means, but...
That is exactly what he means. See? They're sinking down. To try and take them by surprise. It's a brilliant scheme. So brilliant that only a Spock could have thought of it. Oh, Spock, how we love you. Actually, yeah, I mean, I would love to have a model of the Reliant.
I'm sure that can be arranged.
Oh, I guarantee they're out there. I just love that ship design. The saucer and the body directly under it.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that, and I guess I'm overthinking this, but it's like they're not making them modularly, but they're reusing specific designs. It's like this kind of thing designed in the Constellation class. So let's keep going with the disc ship.
See, the thing about this is, he's supposed to be from 200 years in the past, right? Yeah. Well, they had submarines back then. He can think in three dimensions.
He can't. He's choosing not. He's just not right. You're absolutely right, though. Still wonderful. Oh, Kirk. Oh!
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
Yep. And then they started blowing up a model.
Everyone likes a good explosion.
I just like it when they blow up a physical model that they built.
I know, it looks awesome.
It looks great.
That's why the end of Die Hard's so fucking amazing.
Really?
Because they built it. Well, you actually see the model in the movie. But yeah, they built a model of a building, and they built a model of a helicopter, and then they just blew it up.
I know.
It looks great.
Yeah, they blew up the roof, and then... Yeah, I saw in the special features when you have, like... When they had the helicopter come crashing right down on the camera because it went the wrong way. But it looks fantastic in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, it's all over for Khan. He doesn't have a prayer left. Oh, man. He's in bad shape. But excellent makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can he do it? Does he have a plan? Reliant, come in,
Reliant. Use that superior intellect.
Uh-oh. So here's the one... You notice how I've been very good about not nitpicking crap in this movie.
Yes.
I've instead been nitpicking every other Star Trek movie that we're not watching. I'm going to ask one thing.
Uh-huh.
Like... How does the Genesis device, which was just that thing in a tube, have, like, an operating mechanism that was really easy to wire to his console in, like, half an hour?
He's got a superior intellect.
Thank you so much. I do, by the way, I love the design of this console. The Genesis device activation system. Like, I just think this looks great.
Yeah.
Like that it seems to have a series of dials all that do things, and you have to turn it a section and press the... Like, it looks so wonderfully complicated that it's believable to me.
Yeah.
You know? And every time you turn it, one of the sections goes down, so you have to multi-lock it. You can't accidentally... Bringing out the... What, Moby Dick?
Probably. I've never read Moby Dick. It's based on an actual incident.
Really?
Where a whale, attacked a ship.
Wow.
Hit it numerous times on purpose.
That's great.
Yeah.
And honestly, that ship probably had it coming. Crap they did to whales in the past 300 years. The Genesis Wave! Spoiler alert. Like, seriously, two Star Trek movies in a row, you know, climax with a ship self-destructing. I'm not saying they weren't putting enough thought into the wrath, into the search for Spock, but they could have put a little more thought into it. All I'm saying. Oh, but Impulse won't get you free in time!
Well, that's why Spock's gonna go over there.
Do, 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 do. Isn't that wonderful?
That's great.
Oh, Spock, what do you have planned? Something brilliant?
Something illogical?
Actually, it's something completely logical, and it's going to call back to something they said earlier.
Oh.
Which, of course... You will recognize from the billion times it's otherwise been quoted.
You and your vulcan mind. demon.
Yeah. Oh! Poor guy. He's grabbing the part of a radiation suit. Oh, man. Now, you may ask yourself, why didn't they have radiation suits? And I'll tell you. Damaged in the attack. There. I solved the problem. You know, we saw engineering to get hit. Radiation suits were damaged. Yep. There. That's all you need to know.
A wizard did it.
It was wizards. Everything is wizards. Oh! Can he do it? Can he turn the thing counterclockwise? Apparently that's what you have to do to get the engine started.
Oh, okay.
You have to turn a thing.
Yes, you can.
Oh. Yeah, it would suck if he wasn't able to get the job done after all this.
Look, if there's anyone who can close the deal.
It's Spock.
It's Spock.
Okay, he reset the crystals. See, I'm pretending I know what he did. Yeah, he's resetting the crystals. Oh. They had 15 minutes. Well, 16 minutes and 39 seconds, but that's beside the point. I do love that the counter on the Genesis device started at 999.
Yeah.
Like, it's the highest number it could be. Like, that they were so careful with the Genesis device that it even started counting down from the highest possible number its display could read out.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he looks crazy. I love how crazy he looks.
He's, because he is crazy.
I know. Heart, I stab at thee. Also, that's in quotes in the subtitles. How great is that? Wow. Just so we know
for
that he's quoting.
For Pete's sake, I spit my last breath at thee.
I know.
Oh, that's so spiteful.
What I love is that they wanted to make sure, like, from the way he's reading it, we people who can hear can get that it's a literary quote. Mm-hmm. But the people who can't hear won't know about his reading. So they need the quotes to tell them it's a literary quote.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. I've never actually seen that before.
Explosion.
And what happened?
Destroy the nebula.
Compressed the nebula. That's an important plot point for the next movie, which we're not going to watch. So. But yeah. Because remember, the Genesis device can take all existing matter and turn it into life-creating matter.
Right.
So it essentially took all the matter that made up the nebula.
And it's now going to create
a whole planet. A
planet from that, okay.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's the plot of the next movie.
Right. And that's how they find Spock.
On the Genesis.
Yeah.
Of course, the Genesis planet isn't very stable because instead of terraforming a planet, they built one out of space gas. So,
well, at some point, we were all space gas.
I know. But, you know, their technology was not built to make a planet out of space gas. It was made to turn rock into grass.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not the best planet, is my spoiler alert for the third movie. Oh, man.
Oh, and now it's a tearful death scene.
Yeah, it's very sad. But you know what? If anybody deserved a tearful death scene, it's Spock. So yeah, that's why they did the Kobayashi Maru with him dying at the beginning, because it had leaked onto the internet. That's right, I said it on the internet, even though it's not onto the internet. It's the story. You know, it was reported in the legitimate press that Spock died in the new movie, before the movie was even done.
Yeah.
So they're like, if we open with Spock dying, maybe people will think that that's what had gotten leaked and he doesn't really die in the movie.
Okay.
It was a clever technique.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, then again, I was 3, so I did not know that Spock was going to die in the movie. I was not watching whatever the pre-Entertainment Tonight was.
Entertainment Tonight.
Was that out in 83 or 82 or 81?
Must be. Or Current Affair, maybe?
I think Current Affair was after Entertainment
Tonight. Was it? Okay.
Anyway, whatever crappy tabloid show spoiled it for every Trekkie, I wasn't watching. Oh, when you're a child and you think Entertainment Tonight's a legitimate TV show.
I used to watch it.
Me too. I watched it religiously. Yeah. Because I thought it was actual news. When you're a kid, you do. But it's a show for children. Oh,
man. We need Spock.
And they can't let him out. He hasn't been decontaminated. Sorry. What word do you use for deradiation?
Deradiated?
Apparently that's now the word we're going to
use. I don't know.
Okay. Oh.
I don't think it can be
deradiated. Oh. Spock, for once in your life, stop talking about logic. Oh. See? It's what we in the business call a callback. God. Yeah, I know, that was pretty bad. Even by my standards, that one was pretty bad. Oh.
Oh.
I know. See how, like, the test is more meaningful?
Yeah.
How it's about something? God damn it, Spock.
I suppose you could make the argument that it just, you know, gives us an insight into his character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the new movie.
Oh! My hat is off to you, Spock. So you're doing the Vulcan thing. You'll note that Kirk...
Can he not do that?
Kirk can't do it.
Ah. Like...
He just can't get his pinky.
He just can't do that.
He just can't do it.
Like William Shatner can't do it.
William Shatner can't do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Poor Spock. They're even giving him a burial at sea.
Well, yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
So, how is he alive in the third movie?
Well, where is he getting sent?
Oh. Okay, gotcha.
Like, where do you think they were launching?
I don't know where he's going. Maybe in the opposite direction of the new
planet. They just built a new planet that they could bury him on, or they could just shoot him into space. What do you think they're going to do?
I don't know.
Although it is amazing that you know, coffin makes it quite effectively down through the atmosphere of that new planet. In surprisingly intact condition. I'm going to spoil
it. Well, it is brand new. I mean, there's not a whole lot of atmosphere.
That's true.
For another few hours.
And now, what a dick move.
Human.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Kind of a dickish thing to say, but who cares? You know what? That's the greatest compliment he can offer, even if Spock would have considered it an
She's
insult.
She's crying.
Yep.
Shit.
It's a big deal. We gotta remember, Vulcans have emotions.
Oh, they just control.
They just have a religion based around controlling them.
Yeah.
And how good you are at controlling them is how much they respect you as a Vulcan.
Right.
And it's harder for Spock, because he's half human.
Right.
So, even though, I mean, Vulcans all have emotions, he's not expected to, he's constantly expected, especially with his mother and all that, to have emotions publicly.
Right.
So it's harder for him to control it. Poor Spock. Aww.
Away he goes.
Well, they play Amazing Grace. Just nice. Poor Spock. Just as a new day dawns. On the Genesis planet.
God.
Come on. You gotta give me that one. What was he reading?
I don't know. Oh, it broke.
Well, you know, he was in a space battle. There he is. Oh, How wonderful is that, huh?
Oh, is this, does he find out that it's
yeah. bad?
This is some high-waisted pants.
Well, it is the future. Wait, you're saying fashion's not allowed to change in the future?
High-waisted pants?
You know, people wore high-waisted pants right up until the end of the 60s. Like, it's a very recent thing to be wearing low-waisted pants.
Oh.
Like, pants originally, and up until the 60s, were wrapped around the belly button.
Yeah, but this wasn't, you would think, I don't know, I can't imagine the future would have high-waisted pants.
Just for a weird freak of technology and technology, of the capriciousness of fashion, we've decided we should be wearing pants at our hips instead of our waist.
Because it looks better.
I think it looks better. You think it looks better. But all of human history has cinched their pants around the belly button, except for the last 30 years, okay? So don't judge that the future went back. Oh, my God. Oh, Merritt Butterick. Apparently, William Shatner was not cool
mm-hmm.
with there being a young dude who was his son to replace him.
Really?
Yeah. Really not cool with that. And as a consequence, he gets killed off in the next movie.
Oh, shit.
I know. Yeah, you don't want to have Shatner be jealous of you when he's the franchise. The thing is, there's all sorts of stuff they could have done with Kirk having a son.
Yeah. But
Shatner's an egomaniacal prick, so they didn't. It's really too bad. But you get to have that wonderful motivation in the sixth movie about him still being really pissed off at Klingons for murdering his son.
Oh, okay.
So some good came out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's just say in the fourth film, he wasn't overly concerned about his dead son.
Well, he was busy traveling back through time.
Saving whales. I love that movie so much. It's the, you know, it's fantastic. Oh, man. The Genesis Earth. Planet. Yeah. Life. Here they are, massively foreshadowing the next movie
yeah.
in the most obvious terms possible. I don't think that's true, McCoy. I think he's still dead.
I'm not about to start a philosophical debate with you on the nature of memory.
He must have been reading A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because look what he's quoting now.
Yeah, I never read A Tale of Two Cities.
Really?
Yeah.
That one I read during school. Is that what you say, during school or just in school? For school?
It would depend on...
I know, I read while I was in school, not for school.
Yeah, so I guess while you were at school.
Yeah.
Or in school, not for... Yeah. The Dickens I read in school was Great Expectations.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was it.
Yeah, we read Great Expectations for class, and I read a couple others on my own.
I never bothered.
I enjoyed all of the twists.
I think I was still in my Stephen King phase. No, I grew out of that by that point. I was reading Star Wars novels.
Nice. And, yeah, I also, what do you call it? I also, of course, love A Christmas Carol.
I like Mickey's Christmas Carol.
That is another good thing to love. Oh, my God. And now here, just in case you hadn't known that we were going to make another one and Spock was going to be back. Like, they want to make it completely obvious.
Yeah.
Look, there's the untouched coffin that landed gently on the planet.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure these were all reshoots. Because... You know, they just did not want people, like, the studio was like, no, you cannot kill off Spock.
Well, you can't.
No, of course you can't, but they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it would have been more dramatic if they did. And then Spock reads the end credits thing.
Yeah, this is pretty good 3D effect, though.
Oh, it is, yeah. Yeah, the wide the fisheye lens moving over the star field. Yeah, it looks great.
No, but they did a good 3D thing with the planet before and the sun.
Oh, okay. God bless you, Star Trek.
Pretty good.
Yeah, this looks great.
Yeah.
So.
All right, this concludes The Wrath of Khan.
So, how much do you regret not having seen The Wrath of Khan before?
Well, see, here's the thing, though, because I was never a big Star Trek person.
But.
So it's sort of meaningless to me, in a way.
But you see that in and of itself.
No, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But I don't feel the same way about this as, say, Highlander.
Gotcha.
Or Road Warrior. Like
right.
Mad Max. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you understand, but there are a lot more references from pop culture that suddenly make more sense to you now than you've seen Wrath of Khan.
I guess, but at the same time, like, I kind of, like, I understood where they were coming from.
I would actually make an argument that you had, because of all of the pop culture references you've seen, you kind of had a partial picture of Wrath of Khan in your head already.
Well, it's just because, like, being, because you can be aware of something without knowing it.
That's true.
And so I was aware of Wrath of Khan without knowing Wrath of Khan.
Exactly.
So in that sense, I was able to understand what people were referencing without necessarily
having specific knowledge of the things being
of the referent. Yes.
The referent. Seriously? You just said that?
I totally said that.
Oh my god. I'm amazed that that happened. No, but seriously, so you see why this is the best of the original Star Trek movies?
Yes.
It's just fantastic.
Have you not seen most of the original Star Trek movies? I'm still going to say this.
Well, you've seen the good ones. You've seen the good ones, so, you know.
Yeah, except I'm serious when I say that I don't remember anything about number 4, except that there were whales in it.
It's my second favorite. I love part 4. I mean, it's hilarious, it's light,
and don't
it's
they have,
comedic.
Like, flying boots or something?
That would be 5.
Oh, that's 5.
Yeah.
I saw the 5th one.
Apparently you saw the 5th
one. I might have only seen that
trailers
part.
And commercials.
No, I think I might have seen the opening of the 5th one.
Oh, okay. It's a terrible
that's
movie.
Where they're mountain, they're
Kirk's mountain climbing.
And Spock's got the flying boots. Which are actually ski boots, by the way. I think they're a pair of Nordicas.
Quite obviously ski
rear
boots.
Entry ski boots.
As were the gravity boots in part 6 that they used to walk in a zero gravity magnetic boots. They were also ski boots. That's right. Lucasfilm did the special effects. Isn't it great that Lucasfilm did the special effects for a Star Trek movie?
Well, why not, eh?
There's no real rivalry.
No.
Except for them bitching over the title. Yeah, you know, it's like, I'm not much of a, as you can see, I don't actually have a lot of nerdy stuff around. You know? Like, I don't have walls of statuettes, and I don't have posters of things.
No.
You know, my space is, I do not have tchotchkes, you know? But I would totally, if I could somehow get my hands on one of the models they used to film one of the spaceships in Star Trek, I would display the hell out of that thing.
Like the actual model?
Yeah, the actual photography models.
You mean how expensive that would
be? Tens of thousands of dollars, yeah. That's why I said if. What I'm saying is, in the same way that someone would spend $20,000 on a painting and display it, if I could get one of the actual photography effects models, I would treat it as just as much fine art as you would treat any contemporary painting.
Where would you put it? You'd have to clean
not
out this
not here. Obviously, I'm going to have, if I have $20,000 to blow on a friggin' photography model, I'm putting it in the office I work in. I'm not saying, what if I find it in the trash tomorrow? In a hypothetical future where I have the resources to do that, I consider that to be as valid art as any modern artist. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I feel the same way, although honestly, my dream would be to seriously, if I have an office space to decorate, just find a classic matte painting to put up.
Yeah.
You know? Because I heard that at ILM they used to have, like, the Empire Strikes Back Hoth map paintings, like, on the walls of the office.
That's
hallway.
Awesome! I want that on my office wall.
I know, like, and the Hoth that was the landing station and the AT-AT.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those, too.
Totally, like, cool.
How amazing would that have been? Because it's like, you know, it's like 13 feet diagonally. It's a huge painting. So, yeah. But it's like, I think a map painting would just make a great wall decoration. It would take up the whole wall.
Yeah, it'd be so cool.
You know, like, or have one of the ones from The Thing. You know, like the spaceship of The Thing. It'd be fantastic.
It would be.
All right, so, Dive Misters, I believe you had something you wanted to say?
So ends our viewing of Rapcon. And this concludes another AVOD special feature. So glad you could be with us this evening, and I think that's all I got to say. Do you have anything to say?
No. I'm just really glad the Dive Mistress has enjoyed the movies that she has neglected to watch for all these years.
I don't think that was a question of me not enjoying it.
No, but it does. The fact that you knew you were going to enjoy them, and then did enjoy them, does raise the question of why it took you so long to see them. Until I find another one of these she has to see, I'm going to wish everybody a good evening.
Yes, I'm from the Dive Mistress.
And Count Vargelon.
Have yourselves a good night.